Thank you. In Mark, the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus said to two of his disciples, and Jesus Christ said to them, and Jesus Christ said to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, "Why are you doing this?" say, "The Lord has need of it, and we'll send it back here immediately."'" The words of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Mark, the 11th chapter. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. May someone see and hear and make the decision to let the Holy Spirit of God's love come into their heart. Through Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Welcome once again to the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministries. It's so good to be with all of you, especially those of you who cannot, for whatever reason, get out to go to church. Consider this your weekly radio church, your weekly worship service. Welcome to all. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome. Our website, which has the email address on it and contact information along with the past sermons, both in text and audio on it, is www.JesusChristSaid.com. Just like the name of our ministry, run together, no spaces, JesusChristSaid.com. We're now in the season of Lent, and we're drawing near to the Easter time of the year. Palm Sunday will be March 16th this year. That's less than a month away. And Good Friday is going to be March the 21st, and Sunday, March the 23rd, will be Easter. It is early this year. Easter is the time when we Christians stop to reflect on God's decision to end his earthly days, his human life, with death on the cross and the resurrection 3 days later. Our decision to let the Holy Spirit into our hearts makes it so that our belief in God and God's love and our eternal life in heaven is complete. Now, many Christians have made the decision to follow Christ during the Easter season. So based on the past, there are some of you listening right now today who are close to also making that decision of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. This is a joyful time for you and for all of us. Christ giving up his life, not having it taken by the authorities, but voluntarily giving up his life on the cross for you and for me. Then his resurrection 3 days later signals the final defeat of death for us. His decision to die on the cross and our decision to follow him leads to, as Jesus Christ said, life everlasting. Today's Bible reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 25. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Bible says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor is yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." That's our Bible reading for today from the New Testament, Luke, the 10th chapter. May God's mercy be upon us all and his life shine in our hearts and in our souls. Our president, George W. Bush, said he is the decider. I believe I know what he means when he says that. He is the one who, being placed in the powerful position of President of the United States, must make the difficult decisions facing our great nation. He decides, should we invade Iraq? He decides, should we invade Iran or any other country that he deems as a threat to our national security? A moment ago, I was talking about the joyful time of Easter coming up, Palm Sunday on March 16th and Good Friday, March 21st, and Sunday, March the 23rd, being Easter. But there is, in between those wonderful dates, a date of shame for us as a nation. March the 19th will be the fifth anniversary of our invasion of Iraq. Five bloody years for what the president decided, he said, was a noble cause. But he wouldn't even tell the mother of one of those fallen heroes in that noble cause what was so noble about our invasion. A bad national decision with bad results. We have personal responsibility, personal decisions to make in our own lives. Some are trivial, some not so trivial. One decision that will change your life forever for the better is to take the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ into your heart and into your soul and to begin to follow the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings. William Shakespeare, from his play The Merchant of Venice, said, "The devil can cite Scripture for his purpose. The devil can cite Scripture for his purpose." Unless you have made the decision to let the Holy Spirit into your heart and into your soul, you cannot know who is the devil when they quote the Scripture for their purpose. Unless you have the Holy Spirit with you, you will make the wrong decision every time. Every time. Every time the devil will whisper in your ear, "It's okay to be wealthy and ignore others' needs. Let them take care of themselves." Doesn't it say someplace in the Bible that God takes care of those who take care of themselves? Well, if they can't even take care of themselves, how do you expect me to take care of them? I work hard for my money. It's my money, not some bum who sits on his backslidden backside all day long, probably doing drugs. Might even be a homo. You can't tell. Look at those shifty eyes. And they expect me to chip in some of my hard-earned money to pay for their bad decisions. No. No thanks, but no thanks. Listen to me. That's the devil. That's the devil talking to you, making you make bad decisions. Jesus Christ said in John 16:33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." No matter what decision we make, we will have tribulations, troubles, toils. We will have pain in this world. Even if we follow Jesus Christ faithfully, we still will have problems. But see what Jesus Christ told us. Take heart. Take heart, Jesus Christ told us. I have overcome the world. Just as Jesus Christ overcame death for us by the resurrection, so did he overcome the world, this world, the troublesome world in which all of us live, by going to the cross in our place. When most of us begin to follow Jesus Christ, we do not think of it as a large, life-changing decision. We don't know what we're getting into. Some of us don't even give it much thought. Matthew tells us in his gospel in chapter 4, beginning in verse 18, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus Christ, saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, I want to point out something else, too. These were not learned men, like the Pharisee Nicodemus, who, along with all the other Pharisees, knew their law, what we would call the Old Testament. They knew the law, the Old Testament, backwards and forwards. No, these men that Jesus called were working people, just like you and me, and had very little knowledge of the law. Just as when you and I are called, we have very little knowledge of the Bible. In John 12:12, just before what we call Palm Sunday, the Bible says, "The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Now that's from the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And every Pharisee in Jerusalem would have known that. But listen to what John says next in verse 16 about the disciples. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. His disciples did not understand these things at first. So when you make the decision to follow Jesus Christ, you will not know all of these scripture readings, and you will be prey to what William Shakespeare said, the devil can cite scripture for his purpose. But there will now be a difference in your life. The Holy Spirit will be looking out for you, and there will be this small voice inside of you, telling you how to follow Jesus Christ, to really follow Jesus Christ, not some politician or some political party or the preacher telling you how to vote in an election or even somebody telling you how to spend your money. No, this small voice inside of you will then begin to make decisions for you. If you listen to that voice, and your decisions will be better and your life will be better. Even if you have less material things in your life will be filled with joy and with the peace of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus Christ said in John, the 16th chapter, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace." I told you some time ago that I was addicted to smoking cigarettes for many, many years, beginning with the time as a young man when I was in the Marine Corps. I smoked, and finally sometime in the 1970s, I got up to smoking 3 packs a day. I mean, I said that I quit cold turkey, but it wasn't a large decision. It was one that changed my mind, but it was not a large decision. Of course, I'm healthier now, probably alive. I probably would have been dead. But if I had continued smoking, that's a certain fact. But one day early in 1982, I was smoking a cigarette, and I put it out before I had completed smoking it. And I decided I would not smoke the next cigarette in an hour or two or whenever the urge came over me to smoke. And it's not a large decision. Now, notice that I didn't tell myself that I was quitting smoking. Quite the contrary, I told myself instead that I wasn't quitting smoking altogether, but that I would just not smoke the next cigarette. You see, I didn't think I could live without smoking cigarettes. Now, this is like when you are a sinner and you want to become a follower of Jesus Christ. You want to accept Jesus as your Savior. You just don't have the courage at that time or the knowledge to fully commit yourself. So maybe, just maybe, some of you out there can do with sin as I did with cigarettes. Just don't sin the next time you get the urge to. You continually make these small decisions. I won't sin. I won't sin. I won't sin. I won't smoke that cigarette. I won't smoke that cigarette. I won't drink that drink. And this involves making decisions, doesn't it? See where I'm going with all of this? To this day, I'm still hooked on smoking. It's just that I haven't smoked a cigarette since that morning in 1982. Now, this would apply to any addiction, and I believe we humans are addicted to sin. So the point of decisions to follow Jesus Christ is that the next morning, when you wake up from a good night's sleep, you have to once again make that decision to follow Jesus Christ. This is a continuing thing for the rest of your life. You'll have to keep making those small decisions to follow Jesus Christ. This includes, for example, should I get up on Sunday morning and go to play a round of golf? Or should I go for 2 hours to church, to Sunday school, to learn more about the Bible and about the practicalities of how to follow Jesus Christ? And then 1 hour of worship service. But after a while, It becomes automatic. You don't even think about it. You don't want to go play golf. You want to go to church. And Monday morning at the office, or even getting to the office, do you let that car merge in front of you? Do you drive as though you are a Christian following the three core commands of Jesus Christ when he said, love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies? And then when you get to work, do you conduct yourself in the workplace, whatever kind of work you do, as a Christian, as a moral human being who has the love for others working inside you because you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart and in your soul, and other people will see that glow, that light of Jesus Christ living inside you, and who knows, they may make a decision to follow Jesus Christ because you have made your decision to follow Jesus Christ. You made that decision this morning. You made that decision yesterday. You made that decision when you were 12. You made whenever you became a Christian, because all of us decide to come to Christ differently, and all of us decide to stay with Christ differently. The path that Pat took to begin to follow Christ was different from the path that I took. We discussed this, and yet we both follow Jesus Christ today. We make that decision daily. There are so many ways to follow Jesus Christ. There are as many ways as there are people. Look at what happened, or really didn't happen, when Christ first called Peter and Andrew and then James and John. Jesus Christ didn't tell them they must dress a certain way, or walk a certain way, or speak a certain way, or even study his word, listen to his word in a certain way. No, Jesus Christ just told them to follow. Jesus Christ says to you and to me, to all of us, follow me. Now, it takes courage to follow Jesus Christ. I've said this before, it takes real courage to be a Christian in today's modern world. This is a radical, really revolutionary action today to take in today's world. We are so driven today by competition and strife that to take on Christ's command of love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies, well, you can see how that would certainly stir things up in you, in the workplace, in your family. Everywhere, love is replacing hatred and intolerance and jealousy and strife. That's going to be a radical thing to do. There's a little story I remember from a long time ago. I don't even remember when or where I first heard it, but it shows what real courage is, the courage that you're going to need to follow Jesus Christ every day, all day long. Pretend that you're out in your backyard and you're playing with your small children, a boy and a girl, playing ball, and the ball is accidentally hit over the fence into the neighbor's yard. And in that yard, there is this dog, this big dog, this big bad dog that likes to grr and growl. Now, you've got to go over into that yard with that grrring, growling dog in it to get the ball. Your children are looking at you, and you climb over the fence, and you get that ball, and you bring it back. That dog is grrring and growling, but you really don't fear dogs. In fact, you kind of like them, and they like you. Now, that's what I call brave. I really do. I think that's very, very brave to go over and get that ball. But suppose now you were terrified of dogs. Suppose you're so afraid of that big, bad dog over there, it makes you almost sick to your stomach to think of going after that ball. But you know what? You go anyway. You climb over that fence, scared as you are, and you get your children's play ball in spite of your great fear of that dog. That's what I call courage. That is real courage right there. It takes great courage to follow Jesus Christ. We all fear the unknown, all of us. But Jesus is always with us after we decide to follow him. He told his disciples when he walked on the water in Mark chapter 6, verse 50, take heart, Jesus Christ said, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. In Mark chapter 5, verse 37, Jesus is about to bring a small girl back to life from death, and he tells the leader of the synagogue, here's what Jesus Christ said, do not fear, only believe. This is what will allow us to decide and keep deciding to follow Jesus Christ. We trust Jesus Christ. We trust God. Do not fear, only believe. This is what Jesus Christ tells us. These small decisions that become big decisions that save our souls, save the soul of our nation. This keeps us from invading other nations needlessly. This keeps us from fearing one another. We decide to follow Jesus Christ as he tells us to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Trust in God then becomes more than a national symbol, hollow as it is made sometimes by weak leadership. Trust in God then becomes our way of living a life devoted to following Jesus Christ, of making those small daily decisions to keep following Jesus Christ, even after making that life-saving decision to begin following Jesus Christ. It's the result of all of those small decisions that saves our lives and makes us followers of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe, be the guiding beacon for our nation. Give us the courage to be generous as a nation, to make the decisions to follow you. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can, as a nation, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light and let the love of Jesus Christ, from which all humanity flows, into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and soul to be good apostles, following your Son, to be good citizens of this great nation that you and your generosity have given to us for safekeeping. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity, and we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Give us the strength to follow his truth, that love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves, both as citizens of a nation and stewards of a church. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Jesus Christ, that generosity of God on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're about ready to make that decision, if you're still part of the sinful world, you can change that right now by making that decision. You can have God help you either become included or become an includer. You can do that right now, right here on the radio, no matter what is in your past. Can't be as bad as mine. You can become a follower of Jesus Christ now in the twinkling of an eye. If you're already a born-again Christian and have gone back to sinful ways, to barring from the church house doors, those that may need God the most, to seeking power of this world and all of its false wealth, if your light for Jesus Christ has gone out, if you've begun to make bad decisions, ask for forgiveness now. Pray with me right now. It doesn't have to be exactly like this, but pray with me now. Oh, Heavenly Father, please give me the courage to live the life Jesus Christ has for me by learning to love those around me. Save me from being lost and being dead in my soul. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Then Wednesday evening, find a church close by, no matter what denomination, and if you're physically able, go there. Many churches have dinner and Bible study on Wednesdays, and Bible study is the very best way to get to know God by studying His Word. And then next Sunday, go to Sunday school and church. Worship God. Any church. But go. Don't let anyone or anything talk you out of it. You go to church, any church, forget about denomination, and look for the love shining in the eyes and the smiles of those church goers. I like that idea, church glowers, too. This is a reflection. I just made that up. This is a reflection of the basics of the love of Jesus Christ that is in their hearts and in their souls. The love of Jesus Christ will certainly glow in them. They will be the light of Jesus Christ. You find a church, find the church, the instrument of God, the true instrument of God, not an instrument of some political party, and find that one true church for you where you can meet other seekers of the love of God. No matter what the name is on the outside of a church, it's what's on the inside that counts. I'd like to salute all you men and women on the way to Iraq or Afghanistan or just coming home. Perhaps someday soon in this year of 2008, we Christians all over the world unite in the cause of Prince of Peace. We can have all those fighting and wars go home safely. When our son in the Navy, Patrick, came flying through Fort Worth a few weeks ago, Pat and I met a pilot also flying into Fort Worth. So I'd like to salute Lieutenant Brian Rezik, REZAC of the United States Air Force, based way down in Corpus Christi. He'd flown up here to the Joint Reserve Base, Fort Worth Naval Air Station, and he was so polite. In fact, all the base personnel out there, Patrick's crewmates were polite. Of course, how could they not be, because Patrick is polite, too. Pat and I are so proud of all of you. I'd like to salute all of you men and women who answer the call to duty to keep our nation free to worship God as we choose. Good luck and Godspeed to you all. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. Today's song is from the album Age to Age, sung by Amy Grant. Although I played many religious and gospel songs, such as Johnny Cash, Were You There When They Crucified My Lord, or Hank Williams Sr., I Saw the Light on WBAP and the other radio station where I was a DJ, long before Amy Grant came on the scene in the late 70s. She, in most people's minds at least, is credited with the beginning of the popular Christian music genre. Well, good for her. Here's Amy Grant and I Have Decided. Amy Grant and I Have Decided. A decision made for Christ is a decision made for life. But just as following Jesus is an eternal joy, so too are the daily decisions of being like Christ. Please come back next time we're here on the radio. If you'd like me to come to your church and preach what Jesus Christ said, please contact me at my website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. Pray with me one more time. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Christ's love. In His name I pray. Amen. Till next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church, and be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.